Well, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16. I can't speak it in Russian, but I may call on somebody in another language here. Maybe, let's see, we have some ethnos here. Say different nations or ethnos. Let's see, I'm thinking we have somebody from Haiti here, and we also have someone from Ghana here. So we may put them on the spot sometime. I'll give you time to prepare. I know is one of the ladies is from Panama in the office, and she said as long as I, and she was in the army and so forth and so on, but she said she's spoken English so much. I mean, she speaks Spanish, but she doesn't read a Spanish Bible. So the Lord prompted her to go back and to start studying and reading the Spanish Bible and feed in it, just feed in it. Because obviously, when you it's like saying, well, why, Lord? Sometimes He don't answer you. He has a purpose. He just wants you to do what? Operate by faith. Just obey Him and things will unfold, and sooner or later you'll go, ah, that was the reason, you see. Well, let's read. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's a perfect example, just an aside. Folks will say to you, well, I believe that you don't need to come through Jesus. Well, if you're a Christian, you can't believe what you want to believe. You're going to have to believe what the Bible says. And folks in this world are believing all kinds of things, but it's the truth of God's Word that is forever settled and will stand. And He said here that the world through Him who? Christ, His Son, might be saved. So He is the mediator between God and man. And men, the man Christ Jesus. Let's go over to Psalm 34. We've been looking at this scripture. I want to spend a little more time on this scripture. Feed on that. And we all know this. It's not what you know that sets you free. It's not what you know. It's what's real to you and what you do with what's real to you that sets you free. And, you know, a lot of people may know the Bible, but they're not operating in it and they're not acting in it and they're still bound. So it's what you know, not what you know that sets you free. It's what's real to you on the inside. That's what sets you free. So Psalm 34, let's read that out loud. I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. In the King James, I'm going to read. You can read whatever version you have. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. You know, when you look at this here, it said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a lifestyle. Whenever you say something is to be done continually, that's like somebody who does certain things in life. They do it continually. That's a lifestyle. If they eat a certain way or they exercise and go to the gym every day, that's a lifestyle. That's continually they're doing something. That's a lifestyle. They could curse all the time. That's still a lifestyle for them. They could drink alcohol all the time. That's still a lifestyle. But here, this says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a lifestyle. That's not just when we come to church on Sunday. That means all the time that we praise the Lord. When things are going good, we praise Him. When things aren't going so hot, we praise Him. We're to thank Him. And that, just like you make choices about what you do, what you eat, what you buy, you make choices to do something. So it's not as if, you know what, I feel this. No, you make a choice. You say, I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to eat this. I want to go on vacation here. You made a choice. And the same thing here, it's not about how you feel, it's I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to make a choice. And sometimes we slip over into habits that we have. How do we change a habit? By just little by little changing something, changing the way we do things. And so even where we praise the Lord, it's something that we need to give Him praise all the time and give Him thanks. One of the things, if you look at just praising something, I have just a thought here. When you're impressed with something, you praise. You extol, you revere, you brag. Another way of boasting or bragging, which is really what's in this scripture. It says, my soul shall make her boast. That word boast there is halal in the Hebrew. It's halal, which is to boast. And so when we're impressed with something, you know, when you're impressed about where you went to eat, you're talking about it. You're boasting about this great place I just went to eat. Or you're boasting about this husband or wife. Or you're boasting about your job. Why? Because you're impressed. And so sometimes the question is, why aren't we boasting about God? Why aren't we? If we're that impressed with God, not just on Sunday morning, but all the time, if we're impressed with God and what He's doing in our life, then we ought to be boasting. We ought to be saying, God is good. He's great. But see, what happens is, and that's why I wanted to look at this a little bit, when we talk about the problem, when we boast about a problem or a circumstance, then we're doing what? We're praising it. We're praising the problem. And we're boasting about it because what? We think it's so big. We think it's so big, this problem is so big, and God is so small. God couldn't possibly handle this problem. He couldn't fix this. But if you are impressed with God, if you're so impressed with how big God is, that's simple for God to do. That's easy for God to fix that. See? But when a doctor comes in and looks in your face and says, there's no hope. You can't be healed. It's impossible. And you have a choice at that point to either say, ah, that's easy for God to heal that. That's easy. I thank God. Why? Because what did David do? David did not say, my God, look how big that dude is. I think it says he was 6 cubits and a span. That's what the scripture says. A cubit is 18 inches. Somebody came out in the lobby recently and said, from a medical term, and I forget how she explained, she said she referred from here to here as a cubit's length or something. They have a term in medical terms. She said this was a cubit, something in here, a cubit's length or something. So it's from here to here is a cubit's length. 18 inches from this area to the tip of your fingers. Your middle finger, right? Yeah. See, so we have a medical person, so they confirm it. But anyways, he never once praised how big Goliath was, because he wasn't impressed with him. He was more impressed with his God. Why? He had had some experience. He had some experience of God operating in and through him to kill the bear and to kill the lion. So he was more impressed with God than his circumstance, and he talked about it. And he boasted how big his God was and that he was going to take down the giant. Not him, God was. And so we need to, when we develop a life of praise, when we develop a lifestyle of praise, we keep that stirred up in our hearts, and we sing a song, we talk about, we boast about what God has done for me. And so I'm thinking about when they hand me a pink slip, I go, not a problem. God can get that money to me to support me. God can do this. God is going to see me through this. But what has been happening is in the church, and I'm talking about you here, but I'm talking about in church general, people focus on the problem and they're boasting about the problem. See, their soul is. This says here, my soul shall make her boast in the problem. No, it says my soul shall make her boast in the Lord and how big he is and how great he is. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm boasting in him. Now, it may not be comfortable and it may not look comfortable, but what am I impressed with? Because what I'm impressed with is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to boast about that. And if you don't think so, put a little pressure on in your life. Because sometimes when I get over talking about something, I go, whoops, why am I talking about that? Why am I boasting about that? See? Because I'm impressed with it. And if it's that big to me, then I'm impressed with how big it is rather than God. And something's out of balance. And I need to get impressed with God in every area of my life. And I need to say, this is easy for God. This is easy for him to fix this. This is easy for him to bring this money. This is easy for him to do, because I don't have to do it. And neither did David. He didn't have to do it. He boasted in his God and trusted in him. And so that's what has been in my thinking uppermost. And this is an area that will either get you deliverance or will keep you bound in life, because you're either going to be impressed with the problem or impressed with God. And your soul will make her boast in the Lord. And one of the things, and this is what I wanted to share today, is that praise, of course, we went back and we looked at praise. Why do we praise? Or when do we praise? We said we praise him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. We shared that. We praise him because he's worthy to be praised, like we sang this morning. He's worthy of all the glory and all the praise. He's worthy of it. And then we were sharing last week, we shared quite a bit why we should, well, that was why we should praise the Lord. And today, I wanted to share a little bit on why we praise. Praise helps us. Praise helps us, which is really, when we magnify the Lord, it helps us. See, praise, when we magnify the Lord, it doesn't make him any bigger. He's big. He's not going to change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But as we praise him and we magnify him, he becomes great in our eyes. He becomes bigger and magnified in our eyes. And so it helps us And the scripture that I'm thinking about is Psalm 33:1. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." And if you look that up, that just means fitting. It's fitting for the upright. Praise, Psalm 33:1. In the NIV, it says, "It is fitting or suitable for the upright to praise him." So it's right and suitable for us to praise the Lord. And some of the other scriptures, I like this. This is in the Bible in basic English. It says, "Be glad in the Lord, O doers of righteousness, for praise is beautiful for the upright." See, praise will make you beautiful. And if you don't think so, look at the folks that you walk around with that are complaining all the time. It looks that way on their face. But praise is comely, it's fitting. Praise brings the presence of the Lord and can make us, our countenance, more beautiful or fitting. And there are a number of scriptures, but one of the scriptures that I wanted to just share regarding boasting and magnifying. How many know what Proverbs 18, 20, and 21 says? Everybody know that scripture? It says, "Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Let me just read this to you. It says, "A man's belly," this is 20. Now we're looking at this from the aspect of praise. See, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth." Oh my goodness. So that means my inner man is going to be satisfied with the fruit, with the praise of my mouth. "And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Then death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that eat it shall eat the fruit thereof." So if you're magnifying and complaining, you're going to have the fruit thereof. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. But if I magnify God, if I magnify him, and that's the fruit of my lips, I'm going to be satisfied. And with the increase of my lips, I'm going to be filled. So that's why praise should be and is comely and fitting for the upright. Because again, what I was sharing last week is that praise always thanks God before he acts. If you're in faith, faith always thanks God, thanks him before you see the answer. And I said every faith prayer ends in prayer. If you're truly operating in faith, and I shared this, thanksgiving and praise is my faith speaking. So when I'm in faith and I'm convinced that God's going to operate on my behalf, which is what David did, he began to speak and to praise and to boast about God. That was praise. See, and it could be singing, but his praise was the fruit of his lips. And the fruit of his lips, he was satisfied and filled and brought down the giant. Which is going to be the same thing when we're confronted with seemingly immovable obstacles in our life. We're going to need to praise God. We're going to need to thank him that this is easy for you, God. And I'm looking to you and I'm magnifying you in this issue. And it's going to turn around. It's going to change. And let's turn over to, I guess the best way, you know, when we say praise is comely, praise affects your countenance. That's another way of saying it. It affects your countenance, your visage, your outward person. If you're going to be, you know, going around just worrying, it'll affect your countenance. If you're thinking about and magnifying God, your heart's full of joy that He's resolving this, it'll affect your countenance and what you say, and the words that come out of your mouth. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 5. This is a lifestyle change. You know how folks say, you know, I want to change. Okay, here's how you change. You begin to praise Him when you normally wouldn't. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at the first few verses. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Now, look at this third verse and fourth verse. This is interesting. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." So here, in this third verse, this is showing some things that are not comely or fitting or becometh a Christian. Okay? So there's some things that are comely or fitting. These are not fitting. Now, 4, "neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." That's fitting. Praise and thanksgiving and worship is fitting for a Christian. And all these others are not. They're not fitting. They're not comely. They're not suitable for us, you see. Let's turn over... wanted to spend a few minutes looking in Proverbs and the Psalms. Let's go over to Proverbs 14. How big is your God? My God is a big God. I like that song that Martha Minnissi sings. We may sing that. My God is a big God. He will fight for me. You know, I don't get stuck on styles. You know, some people get stuck on whether it's country western or whether it's old time country gospel or southern gospel or rap or anything else. If the message is anointed, then it's anointed. Period. And there's some anointed musicians out there and singers today that are using things in a rap style. I'm not stuck on that or against it. If the message is anointed, then it's anointed. And the words are anointed. Proverbs 14. And look at verse 30. It says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." So a sound heart... And if you look up sound, I forget, I don't have it in front of me. I think it's makpah or something. There's a Hebrew word for that. But that means healthy. A healthy heart. A sound heart. If you look it up, it says health, healthy, sound heart. So a sound heart is the life of the flesh. So a sound heart is going to have a heart that's full of praise and thanksgiving. And that is the life of the flesh. And of course, there's other scriptures. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, a merry heart is a sound heart. And that's the life of the flesh. Let's stay there. Let's look at verse 4 in chapter 15, Proverbs 15. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So a wholesome tongue is that word wholesome. If you look it up, any of you Bible study individuals, the word sound, heart, in the previous verse we looked at, Proverbs 14:30 and Proverbs 15:4, that word wholesome is the same exact Hebrew word. It means sound. It means healthy or healing. Same exact Hebrew word. And if you look up Proverbs 15:14, in the NIV, it says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. So your tongue can bring life or death. And it can bring it through your praise. You can praise the problem, death. Or you can praise your God, life. So a wholesome tongue, a sound heart, is the life of the flesh, and it's a tree of life. Same chapter in Proverbs 15. Look at verse 13. See, this is what we're saying, that praise is comely and it affects your countenance. Well, look at verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Well, not might, it does. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So, if you're walking around sad and forlorn, you don't have a happy heart. You don't have a cheerful heart. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. What's in you is going to affect the outside. If it's not in there, if you're meditating and walking around thinking about the problem, it's not going to make for a cheerful countenance. And we walk through life. People are just sad. They're burdened. Because, why? They're magnifying the problems of life. They're thinking they have to fix it. They've got to make this happen. They've got to get the thing fixed. And so they're carrying the weight and the burden of that. And it affects their countenance. But a merry heart, a heart full of praise, a heart that magnifies God, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble, which says the afflicted, shall hear thereof and be glad. So when we get full of Him, we become glad. And it affects our countenance. And it says, the humble, the afflicted, shall hear thereof. That's what they did with Jesus. Jesus preached the gospel. The afflicted heard thereof and went chastened for Him. They heard of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you look up Proverbs 15:13 in the New International Version, it says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. So, when people walk around with, there should be with us a Christian, we should have a happy heart. And if we're not, we need to examine that and ask the question, why? Why don't I have a happy heart? Because if I don't, then I'm thinking on something other than magnifying God and blessing Him. I'm thinking about problems and the size of the problem and how big it is and how small God is. And I'm concerned. I am really concerned. This is a big problem. Well, it's big to you. Because you're trying to make it happen. You're trying to fix it. But how big is your God? How big is the God that you serve? That's easy for God to fix that. It's easy for God. It was easy for David. Now, think of this. You all know the story. Look at Numbers 13 and 14. God said, go in and take the land. And it was a few. Two. Joshua and Caleb said, that's easy. Let's go do it. But the others said, it's hard. There's giants in the land. And we're as grasshoppers in their eyes. And they decreed it, and they got it. Now you think about this. For 40 years they wandered around the desert. So did Joshua and Caleb. You think about how that must have been to walk around with a bunch of naysayers for 40 years. You think you have it hard. You got a bunch of grumbling and complaining folks. They had to keep themselves stirred up in the Lord, because when they came out, they said, let's go do it. I'm still as strong as I was when I was a young man. Still full of faith. Still full of God. After walking 40 years with a bunch of grumblers. So when folks say, yeah, but you don't know how big my problem is. No, you don't know how big my God is. And He's easy for Him to fix this. Easy for Him to fix this. It's just that you've fed on the problem so much that it's so big now. And your God is so small because you haven't magnified the Lord. And when you get up every day and say, praise God, God is big, God is great, and He's working in my life, and I praise Him, and I bless Him, and I lift Him up in every situation and all the time, then it becomes a lifestyle that we think about Him all the time, and we magnify Him all the time, rather than the things that we walk through in life. And that's not to downplay any issues. That's not to say they don't exist and aren't real. But we need to magnify and exalt Him continually. We learn these things. It's interesting. It almost, when you, and I'm sure those that have ministered to folks that are walking through problems or walking through issues, people want to rehearse and talk about the problem continually. They want to rehearse it and talk about it and talk about it. And that's understandable. But at some point, after you've got it all out, see, because really what they want you to do is to agree with them. Yeah, I know, it's tough. It's hard. But at some point, after you've spilled the beans and you've got it all out and you're empty now, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to exalt? Who are you going to magnify? Because you've spent all this time magnifying the challenge. Now we're going to magnify God. Because in that magnifying of God is your deliverance. There's your deliverance. See, your deliverance is not in magnifying the problem and exalting the problem. That's not where the deliverance is. The deliverance is in magnifying Him. And He will deliver you. You can't. He will. And as you praise Him, I mean, you think about it. What happened in Chronicles when they put the praisers out in front of the soldiers? Deliverance came. That foe was in disarray. So your deliverance will come in the praise. And your praise is going to be full of life, not death. And you're going to be satisfied. Let's look at where we are, verse 13. Let's look at verse 15. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Boy, I like that. A continual feast. The Young's literal translation says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, and gladness of heart is a perpetual banquet. Boy, I like that. Gladness of heart is a perpetual banquet. That means I'm feeding on the gladness of heart that's in me. I'm feeding upon that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to chapter 16. And let's look at verse 23 and 24. Chapter 16, 23 and 24. It says, the heart, so we're talking about the heart, a sound heart. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. See, what are you teaching your mouth? Are you magnifying the problem? There's the heart of the wise, a sound heart, is the life of the flesh. So which is what we read in Proverbs 30, or Psalm 33. But this says here, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Now look at verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. See, your healing, is it going to be in your praise? In your praise of God. Your healing is going to come through that. Your health is going to come through that. Which is what we see in Proverbs 17. We'll get there in a minute. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. See? It says, my soul shall magnify. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That was Psalm 34:2, right? So this is saying here, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like this. This is the Young's literal translation. It says, sayings of pleasantness are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone. Sayings of pleasantness. Boy, I like that. That's good. Sayings of pleasantness. That was, and of course, in the King James, they refer to that as pleasant words. Well, those are words full of life, not death. Amen. Let's jump to 17. You're familiar with this scripture verse, chapter 17, verse 22. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit's going to be a spirit full of or spewing out death, not life. And what does it do? It drieth the bones. But pleasant words, or words, as it says, sayings of pleasantness, are words that are sweet to the soul and health to the bone. And they're full of life, full of praise to God, magnifying Him. Let's look at, let me read this. This is the Young's literal translation in Proverbs 17:22. It says, a rejoicing heart doeth good to the body. A rejoicing heart doeth good to the body. I like the way that's presented. A rejoicing heart doeth good to the body, and a smitten spirit drieth the bones. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And verse 7 and 8. If you're familiar with this scripture. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. It says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. See? We just got done reading how pleasant words are sweet to the soul. So pleasant words should be His words. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, doing what? Rejoicing the heart. Oh yeah. So the Word of God, the law of God, rejoices the heart. And it's sweet to the soul and health to our bones. So when we praise the Lord, one way to praise Him is to begin to lift up and praise Him back with His words. And the thought I was another scripture verse that came to mind as I was thinking about this. You know, we're talking about what are you exalting and what are you magnifying, what are you boasting upon. And the scripture that came to my mind is in Isaiah 55. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So whenever you start thinking something, whatever you're thinking, His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. And His ways are pleasant to the soul. And His thoughts are pleasant to the soul and health to the bone. So we need to lift up and thank Him for His ways and His thoughts, which are His word. And lift it up in song and thank Him and praise Him. Let's turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And let's look at verse 16. It says, "Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified." He's to be magnified. He's to be boasted upon. Why? Because I'm impressed with God. I'm more impressed with Him than the problem I'm facing. And He is to be magnified. He's to be exalted in this situation. Let's back up. I was at 40. Back up to Psalm 35. Just a few chapters. Back up to Psalm 35. And let's look at the verses 26 and 27 and 28. 35. 26, 27, 28. "Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that do what? Magnify themselves against me." So they're not magnifying God, they're magnifying themselves. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." See, we're to shout for joy and be glad because he's moving and operating for His righteous cause. "Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." See, so whenever you say, "Well, I don't know, maybe this is God's will," if it's death and destruction, He's not pleased with it. He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. So He's pleased when I prosper. He's pleased when I'm healthy. He's pleased when I got enough money in the bank. He's pleased when all is going well. He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. And let the Lord be magnified. So verse 28, it says, "And my tongue shall speak of Thy righteousness and of Thy praise all the day long." That means continually. We're to praise Him continually all the day long. It's easy for God to heal this sickness in my body. It's easy. You know, here's the other thing. We need to be conscious of, and we can slip over into this very easy. Somebody helps us with some finances, or, you know, let's say helps us get our financial things in order, and we think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Or we have some nutritional help, and it turns some things around in our body. And we begin to boast on that, or boast in that person, rather than boasting in God and thanking God. Are we boasting about what that individual did? Are we boasting about what a doctor did in our lives to help us? Are we boasting about vitamin pills that helped us? No, we better not. I'm not saying they can't help you, but you better not boast in that. Because it said over here, pleasant words are sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Not your food and vitamin pills. It's what's coming out of your mouth that pleases God. It's what comes out of your mouth that will change your circumstance. Death and life is in your tongue. And I'm not saying that good eating and good exercise and vitamins, but you better not boast on those and forget who sustains you and gives you life and gives activity to your limbs. Because you could have it today and gone tomorrow. And all of those things that you boasted about, they're not eternal. Only one who's eternal is God and His Word. And we need to boast on that and boast on Him. Because we can get sidetracked and get in the ditch. It's easy to do. Oops, excuse me. Psalm 69, I think I wanted to go to. Psalm 69. Jump ahead to Psalm 69. And verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I will magnify. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. If you look up that word magnify, just look it up in the dictionary. Just look it up in any dictionary. Magnify means, it can mean to intensify or to increase in significance. If I magnify, if I boast on something, then it's increased in significance for who? Me. If I think the world is something and I'm boasting on it and I'm praising it, that means it has significance to me. I think it's great. You know, you think about this, you think today, folks, they'll want to praise a basketball player or praise a football player because they did some dunk. And they're going to boast about that person. Why? Because they're impressed. They're impressed with what they did. Nothing wrong with that. You just need to make sure that you watch who you're boasting about and praising, because they get old just like we do, and things change, and they can't fix your problems. Only God can. Now, I'm not saying you don't enjoy a good basketball game or football game, but you need to see and need to watch what your praise and boasting is directed to and about, and you don't get it misplaced. Let's look at let's slow up here a minute. Let me just, you maybe want to jot this thought down. faith magnifies God. So we're talking about faith. We're talking about death and life is in the power of the tongue. Faith magnifies God. Faith focuses on God. Fear focuses on the need. Fear focuses on the lack. Fear focuses on the disease. Unbelief focuses on the problem. Faith focuses on God. Faith focuses on His Word. But fear and unbelief focuses on the problem. It focuses on the lack. It focuses on a disease. And it magnifies it. It talks about it. And it focuses on it. And our deliverance is going to be in what? Faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And I think that, again, I shared this last week, and I'm learning this. I've learned this through making some faith mistakes. I guess you would call it that way. That sometimes we want to believe for the whole thing. And we say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And the first question that one has to ask is, even where it's finances or health, is your faith up to believing God for the whole thing? May not be. And you're the only one that's going to know that. See, sometimes, and I have to watch this because sometimes folks will say, well, I won't believe for this. And then I'm going to probe and ask, okay, is your faith there to believe for that? And not just getting in agreement because I said so. Because you're not going to be healed on my faith. I'll get in agreement with you. But you're going to be healed based on what you can believe God for. And so sometimes folks will be quick to get in agreement with you and their faith isn't there. And there's a faith failure. And they get discouraged. People say, see what happened? They were believing God. And they didn't get healed. But faith, if it's operated properly, is the easiest thing in the world for you to operate and for God to respond to and for you to get victory every single time. Every time. Every time. And sometimes we're trying to bite off more than what we have faith for. And so sometimes we need to step back sometimes and see, okay, what can I believe God for? Sometimes if a person has a life-threatening issue, sometimes rather than believing for the whole thing, let's believe for just a portion of that. Maybe they're in pain. And you just say, okay, what can you believe for? The pain to go away. Okay, good. Let's believe for that. And let's have faith for that. And when you get a victory, you shout. Praise God. Let's take another little step. Let's take another little step. Let's take another little step. And you keep taking little steps, and you're going to walk right out of it. But sometimes people get discouraged because they want to take one big giant step and get to the other side. And when they don't get there, they go, oh, it's not working. See, and they get discouraged. But faith, if it's operated properly and you take, because it's faith is based on believing God, but it's be it unto you according to your faith in God. Not what God can do. He can do all things. But you're going to have to believe God for where your faith is at, where it's been developed. And it's the easiest thing to do, easiest thing to operate in faith if you don't bite off more than what your faith has been developed for and in. And that's why it's important when the scripture is talking about let us magnify the Lord. We're going to praise the Lord continually. Well, you're doing what? You're operating faith continually. You're praising God continually for what He's going to do. And so you're developing faith even in that. You're not waiting for the victory. You're shouting now. You're praising Him now for something small. Like we said, you may be believing for a big, large amount of money. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe you don't have the faith for $1,000. Maybe it's $5. Believe Him for $5. When it comes in, shout. Raise it to 10. Because eventually, you'll get to the $1,000. And sometimes folks are getting discouraged in the area of faith because they're not seeing the results as expected, and they're letting go. They're letting loose of their faith, and they shouldn't. Let me slip over here a moment. Somebody's getting something out of this morning. I'm serious, because you need to sometimes hear it a few times and then it'll sink in your heart. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Faith in God is the easiest thing to operate. It's not difficult. And sometimes when we've been associated with situations, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a sibling that succumbed to some sickness. And when we didn't see the victory, sometimes we can walk away thinking, that was so big. That was so impossible. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. In your mind, it was. Let the Lord be magnified. It's easy for Him to resolve that. Easy to heal a kidney. Easy to heal a heart disease. Easy to heal cancer. But if we read the newspapers and we read all the material and we keep feeding on that, it's not easy. It's so big. It's bad. Ooh. But it's easy for God. And it's just, what have we magnified? What are we impressed with? Are we impressed with what the world says and the doctors and the medical industry? Or are we impressed with God and what He has resolved, what He has done? Look at verse 23 in verse 10, chapter 10 of Hebrews. Verse 23. And I saw this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Boy, I shouted. I was just kind of motoring along before a service and like this, just kind of before I started teaching. And this kind of bubbled up out of my spirit. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Does that sound like continually to you? That sounds like continually to me. Let us hold fast the profession. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now, you know what bubbled up out of my spirit? Let us hold fast the profession of our praise without wavering. Oh boy, that excited me. Let us hold fast the profession of our praise. Because praise, if you're in faith, you're praising God. So I wouldn't do the scriptures injustice by doing that. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us hold fast the profession of our praise. Because I'm in faith, without wavering, because He's faithful. He's big. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Fear focuses on the need. Fear focuses on the lack. Fear focuses on the disease. Unbelief focuses on the problem. Faith focuses on God. Faith magnifies God. Faith expects a change, so it praises God. Faith magnifies God. Faith expects a change, and so it praises God. Magnify God, not the problem. When you're praising Him, you're not magnifying the problem. When you're praising God, you're not magnifying the problem. You know, some folks will say, yeah, I know, I heard that. Well, the Scripture is forever set. We can't come at it another way. There's no other way for there to be a solution. Now, yes, God can supernaturally operate and work through other people. God can sovereignly operate in our behalf. But most times, it's going to be our faith working and our praise that gets us the deliverance. Most times. Not to say that God won't operate through others and He won't work sovereignly in our behalf, but most times our boasting and our bragging is going to bring our deliverance and our praise and faith in God. Praise God. I think that's enough for today. Keep your praise and your magnify Him. Keep it focused on God. Keep it focused on Him, your attention upon Him. And what is that song that Pastor Clinton sings? And your heart will skip with joy and laughter. You know, there's a song I have it. It was never developed. It was a song that Pastor Clinton did. As a matter of fact, I was listening to it last night at home. I have all these songs that are being developed. Somebody had a word from the stage floor. This was in Nanuet. It was back in the 80s or 90s. Person came down, had a word from the Lord, began to share an utterance by the Holy Ghost, and just that quick, Pastor Clinton slipped over into a song. Because that's what the utterance was. Praise me, praise me, praise me, praise me. And he slipped right over into a song. Praise is the cure for all your needs. That was the song that Pastor Clinton got. Praise is the cure for all you need. If it's healing, praise is the cure for all your need. If it's financial needs, praise is the cure for all your need. I'm telling you, these songs that were birthed, scriptural, anointed, but praise is the cure for all you need. Amen. And magnifying God, He'll move on your behalf. Amen. Well, let's close for today. Anybody have anything, comments to add to this? If so, just raise your hand and get a mic. Otherwise, we'll close and dismiss. Amen. For me, this is helping to continue keep Him uppermost in my thinking rather than the activities of the day. Not letting the whole day go by without saying thank you, without praising Him, without looking to Him. I know Deacon Rosemary Howell, you know, and her husband, both educators, both, she's shared this many times, I'm not saying something she hasn't shared from the floor, but she said, you know, as an educator and person who's in a place of authority where you have educators reporting to you, you know, you're always trying to make something happen. You're always trying to say, okay, I know what to do. I got this, do this, da 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 da, bink, 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 bink. And she said, sometimes I just got to back off and say, okay, Lord, I know what I could do. What do you want me to do? Because you can get over into directing and knowing, okay, this is what to do in any profession. I'm just using that as an example, but in any profession, you could be a housewife. You could be home just running your home. Think, I know what to do. Maybe you ought to ask and just ask the Lord what you should do and seek Him. Could be a business. Instead of thinking what you know what to do, praise Him, keep a song in your heart, keep a praise on your lips. And I think so often folks think that, you know, that means at the top of your lungs. No, it just means keep a song in your heart. Could be under your breath if you're around people. But if you're at home, there should be a song in your heart and a praise on your lips. Amen.